Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today to your word. We ask you, Lord, that you may use it, Lord, to help us to understand, to receive your direction, and to know, Lord, what you want us to do in our personal life, Lord, and in our life together. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for we know that your word never changes. It's always the same, and it's going to guide us with the help of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to the truth, the whole truth, that we may receive it, that we may hear it, and may we apply it, and may produce fruit in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have this for some time. We have been covering this topic of God's training his children. Okay. I want to just summarize some. You know, we're getting close to wrapping up on this topic, but I don't think I'm going to be able to finish it today. But we are going to get pretty close, I think. Unless I get some new ideas. And that can always happen. But anyway. So, you know, in the Thursday Bible studies, you know, we have been looking at God's moral attributes. And really, if we start connecting with God, you know, this is something that we have to understand. We have to understand the way he is, not the way we think sometime about him or what he's been taught to us or whatever. We have to go to the Word and see what the Word says concerning him. And the way he works with us, the way he deals with us. This is very important, okay? And, you know, the love that he has for us is one of the very important attributes in his personality, in his essence. But there is much more than that, okay? There are all these other aspects that need to be balanced and, you know, connected. Because they're all connected one with another. Okay, his love, God cannot work, you know, independently of his justice, of his righteousness, of all those other things that he has himself, on the truth and so on. So all these things have to be balanced. And sometimes our mind and our ability to think properly is limited in being able to be drawing conclusion from these things. And this is why we have the Holy Spirit to help us to make those connections, to make those, integrating all these ideas together, okay? But one of the important characteristics that we can see in God is the love that he has for his creation, okay? And, you know, and that love is especially directed with the conscious creatures that has developed. That has created, okay? So, and he has actually, what he wants, what he created it for, was to have a really living relation, living and loving relationship with them, okay? After Adam fall, okay, the situation changed because, you know, he cannot mix with sin. And so he established a plan. Okay, a righteous, loving plan, okay, for redemption of man, so that, you know, and that reflected completely, okay, his loving creature, his loving nature, okay, and his justice at the same time. So he balanced the two of that, okay. The Father sent his Son to die vicariously for us, paying for the sins that Adam did and all his descendants did and will do, so that they could be forgiven, number one, because within being forgiven, we cannot approach God. God is a holy God and has nothing to do with sin. So that's one of the elements that we have to understand, okay? The Bible is full of verses about that, but I'm just trying to give you a complete general picture so that we can go in some of the detail in a moment. Okay, so, And not only to be forgiven, but, you know, to get free from the consequences of his sin and the separation that took place because of that. Okay. But the only way to benefit from that is for us to believe that God's Son, Jesus, actually, you know, what he has done for us, okay, is what we believe in, and we believe and repent about the sins that we have made. And from that basis, we are forgiven and we are born of God. So we have a new life inside us that is not just the physical life, but is also now the life of God. Okay, the one that he gave at the beginning. Okay. Now, God's intention, God's love for us, okay, is manifested by his desire to bless his children. He tries to do everything possible to bless his children. Okay? And at the same time, he has to satisfy, you know, the justice, because he cannot do anything that is unjust. So, and this is why he had to send his son. And I'm not going to get too much into the detail of that. So maybe sometime I'm going to expand on that. Okay? So, but, you know, the idea that we had to understand is that he wants to bless us. And for this reason, he has established a way to train, to develop his children in a way that they can get closer to him. And he put in this plan into operation, okay, and to function for us. But unless we understand the way he intends to work, we are going to have a difficulty in actually benefiting from it. Because only the things that we know and you understand, we can receive. Okay? And this is, you know, and in this plan, essentially use three elements. Okay? Three, involve three elements. First of all, the instruction to tell us what to do. So, and the idea here is important that is reflected, you know, even today, you know, just in the Bible, that he, to instruct us, he has to communicate with us. And if we have a relationship with him, according to the way he wants, he not only communicates with us, but we communicate with him and we interact with him on a regular basis. Okay, that's the beginning. Okay, and when he gives us instructions, okay, the second element of this, you know, if you want, training program is blessings. Okay, when he gets you know, the opportunity to bless us when we listen, when we obey his direction, then he's going to bless us. And the blessings are very important because these are the rewards that the Lord gives us. But not only that, okay, they are also a manifestation or an evidence that we are connected with him. And when we can see that, that becomes a strong motivation in our development. Because we can see that God is not something far away that we cannot connect with, you know, but actually he does something that actually often is even supernatural to bless us, to show us the love that he has for us. Okay. But when things don't work out and we, you know, want to go our own way and we are disobedient, then, you know, he has to implement corrections. You know, it's just like any father on this earth. If they do their job, what they should be doing is exactly the same thing that God does. Instruct, reinforce when the child does the right thing, you know, to encourage to doing the same those things. But also, you know, when he's stubborn and he rebels, you know, he has to introduce some correction. And the correction should be proportional to the disobedience, if you want. Okay. So the Lord, the way starts, you know, when we are disobedient, is going to start affecting our emotions. We start to feel guilty. We start to feel uncomfortable. We start to feel we're missing something and we are not connecting with him. But if we keep going like that, he has to take some more action, you know, and sometime has to even, like just a normal parent, a normal child that deals with his child should also exercise correction. Now, these things, you know, all these last things are not very pleasant, okay? But things, you know, to understand, you know, that most of the, actually all the instruction that we get really are coming from the Word of God. He has given us everything in the Bible, everything in this Word, and through His Word, you know, that an important thing to remember, the Word doesn't change. It's always been the same principles have been there from the very beginning, and they're given to us because He makes sure that we got it, and it's preserved properly, okay? But, you know, for us, we had to connect with the Word. Sometimes, you know, the things are explained in the Word are spiritual things that we are really not quite, you know, connected there because we don't quite understand everything. And so, you know, He has provided extra help. When Jesus left, what did He do? He said, it's convenient for me to go. It's because if I go, I cannot send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, when Jesus was on earth, was just one place and was ministering to the people He was in contact with. The Holy Spirit sent to us, touches everyone that is open to Him and is receive Jesus as Lord. And so we have indwelling in us now the Holy Spirit to open the Word so that we understand it. Not only that we understand it, but we can also apply it to our life. And so we had extra help that wasn't available in the Old Testament the same way. Only some people had that kind of a blessing. But that is an enormous blessing that we get immediately as soon as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because, you know, that put us in a completely different plane in terms of connecting with God because He's there and has a purpose. He is there to help us. He's called the helper or, you know, the paraclete, you know, the one that is on our side to help us along. Okay? And in John 16, 13 says very clearly, however, when He, the Spirit of Truth, and that's one of the things that you're going to see, it's important, you know, that's what He communicates to us. The truth, what is going to reveal to us the truth. Okay? Often, you know, that, you know, is important to understand and understand that He's going to guide us, you know, and He will guide you into all truth. So He's going to, you know, as an ongoing work that He works on us, communication with us, okay, to enable us to move toward the truth and to get more and more of it. Okay, and He will not speak of His own authority, but with every years He will speak and will tell you of things to come. Now here is the first thing I want to stress is all truth. You know, He will go for, you know, in the what that means to get all truth is a lot, all right? There is far too much for us even to be able to assimilate that. But the idea is, you know, that He's going to keep working on us from that moment on forever until we go to see with the Lord. And all that time, what that should happen, what God expects, is that we grow in the truth that we have. Because the truth is what set us free from the bondage of the world, from the ideas that are wrong, that we have assimilated, you know, from the world, from also, you know, the tendencies that were coming with Adam. And this, you know, is a part that we had to work through by the help of the Holy Spirit as He guides us into what? Into, because He's going to tell us, you know, He's not going to go up with new things. The Holy Spirit is not going to tell you anything different what is in the Word. But He's going to use the Word and expand the Word to your, into your mind and your consciousness to be able to bring you to remembrance what is said. Not only, but to understand what it says. And you know, it's not, and you cannot understand completely that through your mind. You had to be open to Him. You had to ask His help. And He will help you. And He's going to grow in you as you more and more you understand, and the more and more you're going to understand for who much has, much will be given. And so the more you have, the more you have understanding of things, and you can understand more about the things that you even, you know, understood partially before because you get a better understanding. But God's plan is actually that, is this process that takes place after you're born again, to get closer to God, to get more becoming more and more like God, to be able to connect with Him, to know the truth, and it's the truth that sets you free. Set you free from what? The bondages, the wrong ideas, the wrong thought, the wrong desire that the world puts and the flesh put on you. Okay, so these are actually the things to come. That's what He's telling you to do. How does He do it? When you are ready. When you are ready and you're doing a certain point, He knows exactly what you need to work on. He knows exactly what you have to, you know, try to understand. And He, one way or another, He will bring these things up to you so that you become aware and conscious of them. Now, when you got that, this is actually the part of communication. And now it's the part of you responding to that and, you know, receiving, seeking understanding, seeking direction so that you can actually apply it. And you're going to take a step toward the goal that God has for your life. Okay? So, this is the relationship, but also is the training. Our training and our relationship with God are the same thing. Because as we relate to Him, He is ministering to us, He is helping us to understand, He is helping us to grow. So, and when we do something right, He blesses us. The blessing is really, you know, that we can see, for example, God's promises in the Word becoming a reality in our life. Okay, and that is really what reinforces our connection with Him, our, you know, desire to even get closer to Him, to take steps, even if sometimes some step may be difficult for us to do. Praise the Lord. But that, you know, that's going to happen only as we hear, we respond, we obey, and we, in that way, meet the condition to get the blessings. Because all the blessings have some conditions involved. Like, for example, to be born again, you had to repent and you had to, you know, accept what Jesus has done and put your trust in Him instead of your own ability. Now that is the place where we start having some difficulties because we like to control things. You know, generally, we know in this world, if you don't control things, you are in trouble. Okay? You have to be able to know what to do. You have to, and what that is, you know, and this is true to a certain degree. Because there are certain things over which you have no control. But God is going to guide you in understanding these things. And, you're going to see His response to your obedience, which is actually His blessing that can be both spiritual and physical. They touch every area of your life. Okay? And they reinforce. It's like positive reinforcement when a parent teaches their children, you know, and show that, yes, good job. Okay? And then the child feels good about it and do it another time. And keep doing it. Okay? But the correction is not as pleasant because it's something generally that is trying to wake you up. Okay. Not everything everything that happens is always correction. That's not necessarily so. Sometimes there are things that just happen because physical reasons. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 12 says very clearly: "For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights." So these are needed. These are needed to make sure that we develop in obedience, that we grow closer to Him and we don't go our own way, okay? One of the ways to avoid as much as possible correction is to develop the fear of the Lord. the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why? Because, you know, you are really, and the fear of the Lord really is the same thing as the love of the Lord. There are many parallels between the two things. If you love the Lord, you don't want to be separated from him. And so you want to obey and follow his direction. Okay? So, but you can be assured of one thing, that in this the correction that the Lord submit you to is always fair and just and loving, so that he knows exactly how to do it. Your parents sometimes may overdo it or not do it enough. And if you don't do it enough, you become a spoiled child. And if they do it too much, they actually turn you off instead of helping you. God knows exactly what to do with you, because he created you. He knows everything, every thought, any idea, everything that, you know, you can't cover anything from him. You cannot hide any place. Okay? So, because he knows exactly what to do. And you know, one of the things you have to know, that when you go through this correction or test or temptation, you know, you are not going to be tested more than you can actually, you know, be able to bear. That God knows that you can not just handle it, but you can overcome it. But you have to be responding the right way. You have the right attitude to be able to do that. Because he always provides a way of escape. And so what you have to do, you know, is when you're going through some things, you have to look for the way of escape. You have to ask him direction, that he show you what is the way out from the problem. Okay. Now, one has to be, you know, reasonable sometimes. There's nothing to do with that. There's minor things that are not important. It's not every little things is that the way, okay? So, but the fact is that, you know, to understand, God created you, loves you, established a plan for your redemption, you know, and that plan include, you know, all the different steps that may make you get closer and closer to him, including revealing you the truth, guiding you in the truth, and having the help of the Holy Spirit is third person of the Trinity inside you to guide you into this whole process. Praise the Lord. See? So, he helps you, and the major element, though, in this help is the Word of God. Because that is something that is in front of you, is physical, you can, you know, we are still much like flesh, and we need some physical things to connect with. And the Word of God is always there. You can always go to that. Okay? And doesn't change. And so that's the great thing. Okay? And one of the things that we started looking at last week is one of the ways meditating on the Word. Now, we had to understand the danger with meditation. Meditation is in all religions, not just Christianity. But the way Christian meditation is different from all the others. Because Christian meditation is based and focused on the priority of God. First commandment of God is what guides all Christianity. One commandment is enough to cover everything. You don't need all the rules and the stuff that were in the past. You don't need, you know, if you connect with one, if you connect with him, if you connect with God, he's going to guide you. Okay? But you have to be connected. And, you know, the fact is meditation, you know, if you listen to much teaching on the meditation, including from Christian preachers, is that well, you meditate on what you want. Meditate on the promises. Meditate on the other stuff. You want to get in trouble? Do exactly that. That's what is essentially taught in all the cults, in all religions, in all everywhere. This is what taught. And you know what happens? You end up being demonized. That's why even Christian mystics in the past were the people that created more heresy than anything else. And you can look at the history of Christianity and you see that all the big problems came from them. They were meditating in the wrong way and they got what happens. See, when you meditate, what you think about becomes a reality in you. And instead of really connecting with God, you create new idols. And the things you go after becomes your idols. As a result of that, you get into idolatry without even knowing it. So that's not the thing to do. And we are going to see that the Bible says very clearly, shows that. That doesn't, sometimes it's not very clear, explain it completely, but, I had lots of discussion with other ministers about that. And, I think that the people who understood something always, agree with me. Now, let me start with, try to explain this so that we, you don't get into the trouble that is generated from that, okay? For example, last week I was talking about Psalm 1. See, we can see that the Bible talks clearly about meditation. Okay, God talks clearly about things. There are some conditions in which this has to be done. Okay, in Psalm 1 explains some conditions, but there are many more conditions than that. Okay, first of all, is the fact that, says that to get the blessing, you had to get the wrong information. You had to have you get the blessing, you had to have the right information, and you had to have the right understanding. Otherwise, you're not going to go in the wrong direction. And what happens is that when you start meditating, those things that you meditate on becomes expand. And you get ideas, thoughts, revelations, quotation marks, about those things. And they become reality. In fact, this is meditation is what also all cults and the occult do. But they meditate on the wrong thing. Okay? But there is some power in it because they get results too. But they are not produced by God. They are produced by you and often end up being demonic forces. You have to understand that. Because if you don't understand that, you become... See, the thing is, the mystics, quotation mark, Christian mystics, the one that went after medication, they are so convinced of what they got is true that they don't see their own error. See, you are so convinced that you are right because you have been meditating on these things for a long time and you are completely accepting it. And there is also some power in it, but it's your power. This is mind power, is not God's power. See, we as believers don't have our own power. We have His power working in us. It's God in us that does the work, not us. Okay? He is the one that fulfills stuff. So the only thing we need is to connect with Him. Because anything else that we end up connecting is going to be hindering our relationship with Him. Okay? So, the first things, we have to be careful about our environment, the things we are exposed to. And I showed that last week, you know, talks about, you know, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. We have to be very careful to, you know, the people that are in our environment, our association, in our contact, because there is something called transference of spirits. Okay. And that transference of spirit, we get, you know, influenced by people around us, by their spirit and the spirit that are in them. And we have to realize that we have to be conscious of that and protect ourselves from wrong exposure from people that actually are not working with God. And here is, that's the first point. So that's the first condition. The second condition, okay, you know, is our attitude. See, our attitude is one of the things that, although the word attitude is not really used in the Bible translation, but whenever it says phroneo in Greek, that is talking about attitude. So that if you take phroneo, you know, it's all over the Bible. It's our attitude, it's our position, it's our standing, it's the way we are set inside concerning things, it's the way we judge certain things, and we decide if they're good or bad. Is that is coming, you know, that's evident in our attitude. In our attitude, I wrote a paper on that, you know, that is on our website. There are two, you know, there are always, in our attitude, there are, there is as a dual functioning, you know. There is always a yes or not, good and bad, you know, okay and not okay. That is a judgment inside you that touches everything that is around you. And according to that, you are positive or negative concerning certain things. Okay, so if you know, for example, that this is bad, God doesn't want to do it, you say, no, I don't want that. But if you are confused and you are there, you don't know where to choose. So you have to have the right attitude concerning all the things that you go through doing. And this is what our training is all about. Our training is to show you the you know, the proper judgment concerning different things. Okay? Now, and that is determined, how do you determine that? Go back to the Word. The Word is what shows you what God approves and what God does not approve. You go to the Word and see where He is supporting and what He is not supporting. And according to that, you see, what we have to do is to make our judgment the same, parallel, aligning our judgment with God's judgment, which involves, you know, also our values and our priorities. Okay. So that's, okay, so, So the second point, you know, that we have to have a good attitude toward the Word, because that's one of the major sources. Okay, we have to have a good attitude toward God, because this is the one that gives us everything. Okay, we have to be submitted to Him. That means, you know, we have to be open to His direction. Okay, that is really the second thing. You know, our attitude, as the one that says us there in Psalm 1:2, you know, is delight in the law of the Lord. You know, and what that means, that, you know, that actually not just some part that we like, you know, the whole counsel of God. Because that is the what brings the balance about things, okay? And really, you know, and says here, and in His law does He meditate day and night. And that doesn't mean that you are there always like a guru, there, you know, meditating on the Word. It means, you know, that this inside you works within you, and so, you know, you can be taking a walk, and the Lord minister to you in your, you know, in your inner man, and guiding you and showing you things. You know, in my own personal experience, you know, sometimes I take a walk is the best way to really connect with God and you know, and receive direction. Okay, anyway. So, and then, you know, as a result of that, automatically, as God ministers to you, gives you direction, gives you understanding, gives you wisdom concerning the things, what happens, you know, that you naturally are going to make the right decision, make the right, you know, you're going to get wisdom, because that's in the, what's in the word. You get, you know, understanding. I see the understanding, you know, Holy Spirit minister to you. And so you find out truth. What is the truth? Judgment about certain things. What is right and what is wrong. And when you get that and embrace it, respond in a positive way and start applying it to yourself and start acting according to that truth, automatically, without you any effort, God's judgment is going to work inside you, guiding you and producing the result that you did. It's not that you had to just try to get it. You know, it's that you connect with God. God is the deliverer. He is, you are not the deliverer. You cannot deliver yourself. You cannot heal yourself. You cannot heal. That is what he has done for you and what he is going to do as you connect with him. Are you following me? And there is it, verse 3 says, you know, you shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. I mean, that tree is not going to make a big effort to produce leaves and fruit. It's just staying there. In the water, sucking the water in and producing fruit, because that's what it was built for. That's what you are built for too. Praise the Lord. And when it's going to happen? In good seasons. You know, in its reason. Season. That means, you know, when is the right time. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it takes a process of changing and growing and taking different steps. Okay, that is going to produce the result that you want. But, you know, but whatever you do, says, shall prosper. So, you know, you're going to not waste time with things that are not good. You are actually doing the things that are right, and the things that are right are going to produce right things. And we are going to see more about that, especially the part, you know, the part of the attitude and so on. But this is going to be manifested. When is the right time to produce? Because that's the way it is even in nature. Okay? Now we can see another place, more of meditation, that describes a bit more some of the part that these are involved. Okay? How our attitude is important. You know, the fact that we delight in the Word. That we are open in the Word. You know, if there are scripture you don't like and you want to separate, those are the scripture you actually, because these are written by God. So, and they are there for a purpose. And if they bother you, that the implication is very clear that you don't like what God is saying. And so, you know, the only way to get anywhere, because he won't change, he's always the same, he's always going to be the same. The best way is to change quickly, because either way, you know, you're going to have more trouble than anything else, because he's not going to change. Okay, so that's really a good thing, okay, to understand that when we feel resistance to some truth, that's exactly the area that we have to get revelation. And so you don't get revelation by simply say, okay, I'm going to do it, but you just do it against your will. No, you have to approach God as he's not trying to push you and take advantage of you. He's taking all the time you need for you to get it. So you start allowing God to minister to you in that area, and you start meditating on those things, and he's going to try to direct you and change the way you think about them. By showing you what? The truth. By the Holy Spirit working in you. By giving you revelation. Paul, what did he pray about? For the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come on the Ephesians. If you remember. Okay? Why? Because we need that to be able to do what? To be able to grow into this process, this training that God is trying to do with us. Are you following me? Okay, this is, you know, all these things are all connected together, the Word, the other things. You know, there is such a soundness together in the world and all the part that God does and all the plants and all the things, that everything works together, is all, everything is connected. And when you start seeing that connection, you start appreciating the way God is, the way he has organized everything. Everything is orderly, not confusing. When we are confused, it's because we haven't understood it, and we need to really open up, because that's the only way for you to get the revelation. Okay, let me continue here. So, another place that talks about meditation is in Proverbs chapter 4. There, you know, talking about God is talking to child of God. So, verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my saying." So, you know, this is the inclining your ear, is when you really are there, you know, trying to get it. You are open to listen and to receive it. Okay, so you have a heart, a listening heart, not ignoring or screening out anything that you are not comfortable with. You are there listening, open, and says, "Lord, show it to me. Lord, explain it to me. Give me the understanding that I need, because, you know, I find difficult to do that. I don't know what you mean," whatever. And he is more than willing to find a way to you so that you understand it and you got the understanding that you need. Okay? So you have attention, you give your attention, you are receptive, you are listening to what God is saying, you know? And Lord, not just to what you want to hear, or not just your interest. Okay? So continuing there, following verse is, "Do not let depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart." So that means you are reading, you are listening, you are treasuring, you are remembering, you are there allowing that thing, you are pondering on them. Okay. Because you value his word, because you know that that is the source for you to get the information you need to walk in his ways. It's not just your theology, it's what he says that is important. Okay? So you start trusting and depending on the word of God for direction, for guidance, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And you are treasuring it in your heart and keeping it there on an ongoing basis. Okay? And when you do that, it's the same thing that we said before, essentially. Yeah? But now, you know, says, you know, give you the result, the type of impact they should have. Okay? So they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So that's what they produce. They produce in you life, strength, and health. If this applies to you spiritually, you know, applies to you, you know, emotionally, mentally, and physically. In all the other things, because it applies to everything in your life. And he's there, and he's going to bring to pass the things according to what he said he would do. Now, okay, continuing there, okay. One of the things we had to do is that we had to keep, following verse 23, you know, we had to keep our heart from negative input, negative influences, wrong thoughts and wrong ideas. Okay, so he says here, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life." You know, keeping the heart with all diligence means you are careful what is going on inside you. Because you are careful in what the way you make your decisions, the way you make your choices. Okay, doesn't stop there. Okay, it says, "For from it spring the issues of life." The word "issue" there, you know, in Hebrew actually means, you know, it's the boundaries of your life. It's really the result that you get. So, you know, from what is going on inside you, you know, what's going to happen is going to be the result you're going to get. Okay, we have to understand that. And so you have to keep your mind and your heart directed according to the word of God. Then continue verse 24, put you away your a deceitful my mouth and put preserved lips far from you. That means, you know, you had to start speaking the truth. You know, you had to be honest and, you know, all our connection with God has to be in spirit and in truth. That means has to be with our inside and has to be not a, you know, hypocrisy or not a dissimulation. You have to be the real thing. And so we had to, you know, speak actually the things that actually we feel, the things we believe, the things that the Word says, you know, and, you know, make those things align with the Word of God. Okay. This is really so that you can even consciously you are connected with God where you're thinking and God where you're judging, okay? Then St. John says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelid look right before you. Here he's talking about your eyes, okay? Jesus said, you know, our eyes should be single. I mean, we should have a goal, we should have a plan that we follow, and we have to dedicate ourselves to that. You know, look straight here. It says, look your eyes straight ahead and your eyelid look right before you. So you have to keep looking at what God's direction in your life is, and you have to keep moving in that direction, okay? As you, you know, essentially what you determine what God's goal are for you, what he wants you to follow and do. Anyone want the most important thing that God wants from you? Is that you are connected with him, that you are wanting to be connected with him and are obedient to his word. Okay? Now, then goes on specifying even more on that. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. So, you know, you are there not just making quick silly decision, you take your time, you ponder on the decision you make, you know, which is really the word used also for meditating. You think what you're going to do. You develop it according to God's will, God's plan, okay? And you, you know, according to that, you let your path, let your ways be established. So, you know, the way you do things, the way you walk, are going to be established by what your meditation you are doing, what the direction of word give you for your life. Okay. Then repeat that in a different way. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your feet from evil. These are really the complete conditions. You know, anything that is evil, anything that God doesn't want you to do, just keep away. Okay. Now, there is a final scripture on that that actually gives the conclusion, really summarized just about everything that is in Psalm 19, verse 14, that says, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, here is saying two things. Okay, number one, that whatever you are thinking and whatever you are meditating on has to be acceptable by God. Okay. What is acceptable by God? Well, it's very simple. Okay. Acceptable of God means pleasing God. What pleases God? Well, Hebrews 11:6 says very clearly, okay, what is, you know, that you believe that he is and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what actually you are doing are things that are actually diligently seeking after him, not after things. You connect, you see, everything in your life depends on your spiritual walk. And you have to have the proper connection with God for that to be guided in the right way. Okay, you obey him because you trust in him. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's why you know, obey him. That's why you obey the word, okay? Now, You know, so when you meditate on the scripture, you know, in a way acceptable to God, then, you know, that pleases God, okay? And not necessarily satisfy what you are after. You go what God is after, okay? Because what often we are after is our flesh, things that we want, things that we need, and we want to, you know, give a priority even to God. And we said we had to go after God first, and all the other things in his kingdom shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the thing you should be meditating on. That's the focus of your effort. That's the idea. And it's not your need, is not your ministry, is not anything else. You know, these are all things. You know, God wants you. Not he, you know, I heard preachers say recently, you know, oh, God needs you. God doesn't need anybody. He has everything and he's fulfilled in himself. That's a complete nonsense. That is putting yourself in a place where you are not and nobody else is. God is completely filled. He didn't need to create anything. He didn't need to create the whole universe, the world, the people, the angel. He didn't need to do it because he was full, complete, satisfied within himself, within the Trinity, from the very beginning. But, you know, and that is intentional. When he created the whole universe, is to because he love is creative and gives. And so he created everything so that he could bless them. But he can bless them only if we are connected, if the creator, the creation, or the creature, you know, conscious people are actually connecting with him because he is the blesser. He produced all the blessing for us. And, you know, I've been sharing scripture on, you know, the love of God, the way it's manifested, the way things, you know. And you can see very clearly there, you know, how abundantly he dealt with even the world. Okay. But the love is manifested in different way according to the place where, you know, the conscious person is. The love that he has for the world is not the love that he has for a believer. And there's a specific manifestations that I have to do with the position where you are. See, the way he dealt with angels is not the way he dealt with us. They rebelled, that was it. When Adam rebelled, praise the Lord, he found a way. Well, actually, he knew the way before he even started because he knew everything. Okay? So it wasn't plan B. That's plan A. Okay, he knew that was going to happen because they are limited. He knew about the angels too. You know, he just everything is according to his plan. Okay, and he uses everything for his glory, and that is not a selfish motive, because he is perfect. Anyway. Even, you know, when we meditate according to our desire, we have to be careful because we are going to be deceived. You know, I know lots of people that start meditating on things they want and they come up with revelations from God and they say, oh, you know, God is going to do that. And they say some stuff that is completely out of God's will for them to have. But they got some promises, distorted them, and they use them at their destruction. Anyway, let me continue here. So, let me take a step ahead and show another aspect that shows exactly a parallel to what I'm saying, okay? God's training is the same thing as the renewal of your mind. And if you read Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, you can see there even some of the construction concerning what God's going to do. You know, consider, it says there, Romans 12, 1. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, this is God's mercy that has given us the ability, okay, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, let's take with the word bodies. Okay, bodies, there is soma in Greek. Okay, it actually means the human body, the physical body. I mean, that it is considered here as the seat of all occasion, all opportunity for moral imperfection. Okay, that is what, is essentially the flesh. But the flesh is, in a different word. But here is someone actually specifically to show the way we are made physically. Okay, so, and that is what is, inducing in us sin through the appetite and passion that our body has. So we cannot go by the desires of our body to know how to meditate and how to, we have to offer your body. That means that's a sacrifice, says. So you essentially give your body a sacrifice. It's like, when you put in the Old Testament, we put the sacrifice before the Lord, they burn it. They give it up. So you give up your body and his desire of the flesh. Because if you don't hold on to that, you cannot. You see, our fleshy desire are envy to God. And we have to make sure that we are not in that position. Here he's telling us specifically, if you want, that that process of, is giving our body a living sacrifice with the holy, separated from the world and acceptable to the Lord, which is really trusting him, believing that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and that's exactly what we are doing as we are offering our body to him. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, I mean, this is all different scripture and different places of the Bible that say all the same thing. Now, let me continue. Which is your reasonable service, okay? So, that is, logical thing too, okay? And be not conformed with the world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind, that may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, you cannot prove the will of God until you do that, until you offer your body a living sacrifice. Otherwise, you're never going to find out what God's will for you is. That means, you give up your feelings, your emotions, all the stuff that is there because they are unreliable. Your desire, even your needs. You go to God and let him, God, satisfy your need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, that means, all your needs are met if you shall not want. But unless he's your shepherd, unless you follow him instead of following your desire, unless you are actually following what the word says, you are not going to ever know that you can be all completely satisfied and fulfilled without following your desires. You don't have to look after yourself. God looks after you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's the good. For now, we are talking about theory here. I'm going to show, actually, Psalm is a good place to go to see certain things that you cannot see anywhere else in the Bible. because in Psalm it describes actually the feeling and the attitude and what's going on inside the person that wrote the Psalms, David or the others, okay? And, you know, touches some things that are not touched anywhere else. We are going to see some things there that actually help us enormously in understanding the way God works and the way we respond to Him. Because, you know, He's completely honest about the situation that he's in, about the feeling that he has, and he's going to God and speak to Him openly about what's going on inside his heart. Okay? So we can see guiding us in the thing that we're going to do, but ooh. Praise the Lord. Well, let me finish this a moment and then, okay. All right. Yeah, we are there. Let me close here on the renewal of the mind, okay? So you're not conformed with the world, but transformed. So you're not going to be by the influences of all the other things. You protect yourself from all the things of the things in the world around you. Diligently, because they affect your heart. Because just the vicinity, the exposure, you know, you go with somebody that swear all the time, I'll tell you, it's going to happen, you're going to swear too after a while. Or you're going to follow them the way they do. Why? Because it's recorded inside you, you don't even think about. Okay? That's transference of spirits. But you have, the fact is, bad spirits are more easily transferred than good spirits. Too bad, but that's the truth. It's more work because it's going against the flesh. The flesh likes fleshy things. Okay, let me try to finish here. Let's land here. So, you know, the idea is that you are transformed, the renewal of the mind, and you know what is acceptable and perfect will of God. What happens, okay, as you go through this spiritual training, okay, what's going to happen in you is that you're going to develop the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it talks, you know, we read scriptures saying, talking about the fruit of righteousness, which is actually the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Are actually those things that you cannot develop in your own strength, that the only way to develop are spiritual and developing through the spiritual connection with God. It's what you're going to see as you are transformed, okay? Metamorphosis, the word there is actually in Greek, okay? So you are transformed, you're going to have these things coming out, developing by themselves, that you are going to see love, peace, joy, patience, all the other things. Self-control, very important one. You know, and all the other things are going to be there. Why? Because you're not doing them. It's not your work. It's not your effort. God's work. God's effort. God has produced them in you, and they are the fruit of His work inside you. They're going to be manifested. You're going to be even surprised of yourself, of the changes that develop in your own life. That you can do things that you say, a year ago I could never do that. But now I don't even think about it. Okay? Is God taking over? Is the transformation process taking place? Is you knowing God's will, God's perfect will for you, that, you know, you are starting to align up. And with that, I think for today, we close. But we're going to continue next week is to see your attitude and your emotions impact on all this process. And now the Bible actually shows it very clearly. Okay? And now you can use those things as a direction to know the things you have to work on. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Okay? Father, thank you for your word. We come to you to ask you for your help by the Holy Spirit opening the word to us, that we may understand. Have the spirit of wisdom and revelation to guide us unto holiness, obedience, the ability to please you by trusting you. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for calling us. Thank you, Lord, for making us grow according to your plan. Give us understanding and revelation that we may cooperate with you and see the result in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.